Tonight's message is going to be on prayer. It's going to be, the title is, Why Keep Praying? Why Keep Praying? So what you're going to want to do, how many of you have one of those like strings in your, or ribbons in your Bibles? All right, you're going to want to put a marker in Ephesians chapter 3 and then put a marker, or if you have something else. If you took two or three worship folders, you can use those as your markers. So you're going to be primarily, we'll look at other scriptures tonight, but primarily Ephesians 3, and then put some kind of marker at Revelation chapter 5. We're going to be looking at those two chapters for the most part tonight. Now, if you aren't sure where Ephesians is, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Anyone have a way of remembering that? I've heard different things. Go eat popcorn. Right? Anyone else has something else that they learned as a kid? Or there you go. Gentiles eat pork chops. I like that. I've heard General Electric Power Company. I've heard that one. Right? So now you know what. Then, but to use that, you have to know at least where Galatians is. Right? So Ephesians, we'll be looking at that. We're going to be looking at why keep praying. And there is this little boy once, and he really, really wanted a brother, a baby brother, and so he told his dad, "I'm gonna start praying for a baby brother." And his dad's, "Well, that's good, that's good." So he prayed for 1 month, and then he prayed for a second month, and he prayed for a third month, and then he stopped praying. But 6 months later, he went to the hospital. His dad brought him to the hospital. They went into this room where his mom was, and they pulled back the sheet, and here was this little baby brother, and kept pulling back the sheet. There was a second baby brother, and pulled it back a little more. There's a third baby brother, and the dad said, "Now see, aren't you glad you prayed? God heard your prayers." And the little boy said, "Well, aren't you glad I stopped praying after 3 months?" So let me start this out. I'm going to start with some questions. I really just want a response to the first question, and then the other ones you can just think about, okay? The first question is, does God have all power? Right? God has all power. Let me ask some follow-up questions then. For him to release that power, God has all power. We believe he has all power. So for him to release that power, do we have to pray for that power to be released? Something to think about, okay? He has all power, but do we have to pray to see that power released, his power released? Another thing that people think about, do we have to bother God enough to get him to answer our prayer, right? Do we have to bother him so much that finally he releases that power in prayer? In Luke 18, there's a story of a unrighteous judge. And I've seen, different pastors and preachers preach on that passage about, it teaches about persistence, right? You keep going, unrighteous judge. Why did that unrighteous judge finally give in? Because of the persistence of the woman. Well, is God, though, is he an unrighteous judge? No. But the principle there is persistence. He's not an unrighteous judge. If we really bother God enough, though, will he finally do something, right? Does it come down to how persistent we are, how much we bother him? And, or when we pray, are we trying to talk God into doing something for us that he doesn't want to do or wouldn't want to do otherwise, but do we, by our persistence, do we finally, kind of like a little, I don't know if you had kids that would do this, but they would constantly come up, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad," right? Over and over and over until, what do you want? And they just want to say hi or something like that. Or they want something. I have a daughter. Well, I kind of gave it away, so now it's just down to two. That is very persistent when she wants something. Is that how God, though, is with us? Does he want us just to keep coming? Dad, 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 right? Keep coming with our prayer. Does he require a certain amount of prayer for certain situations? He won't answer unless there's a certain amount of prayer that we put into it. And here's another thing. Do we earn answers to our prayers? Can you earn answers to your prayer? Because some people have all kinds of ideas about how, you know, does what it takes for God to respond. If you're taking notes, there's going to be three main points I'm going to make tonight. And the first point is this. God has deposited his power in us. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit that's taken up residence in you. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have God's power deposited inside you, especially. Okay, so number one, God has deposited his power in you. He has deposited his power in you. And when you understand that this about prayer, when you understand that he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, when you understand that and you apply it to prayer, then it changes how we look at prayer, and it makes us want, if we really believe it and understand it, it makes us want to be people that pray. If we understand that we have God's power deposited inside of us. In Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you," talking to his disciples, right? "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem." That means wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you are endued with power from on high, right? What's the promise? You will receive power. You will be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "When you shall receive power," when what? "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not you might receive power, but you will receive power, right? So this deposit of the Holy Spirit coming inside of us. Now, everyone close their Bibles. This is a test. I don't usually do this Sunday morning, but here's Sunday evening. No one cheating. We're in church. No cheaters out there. Close your phones, whatever you might be. Okay. This is the first part of Ephesians. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3. The first part here. Most of us probably know this verse. But look at Ephesians 3, this first part. Don't go to the next slide yet. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Right? We know that. How many of you know what the rest of that verse says? Don't say it. How many of you? Raise your hand if you know what the rest of that verse is. And I will come down and ask you to say it for us all. Nobody? No one's confident. Jan thinks she knows it, so she's pretty bold. I'm not going to come down there and ask you. Okay? Now, I asked three deacons this question. I see one of them here. Have any other deacons here? Is Kevin here? I don't see him. One former deacon out there. I didn't ask him, but I didn't ask Josh either. So Josh is safe as well. But none of them knew the rest of this verse. So we're going to be holding elections again next month. No, just kidding. But let's read this first part again. "Now to him..." Oh, there's Kevin right now. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," and here's the rest of that verse, "according to the power that works in us." According to the power that works in us. Let's go back to that first part. Go back, put it all together. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Okay, we're going to put those two together and look at some things because it's interesting. The way this verse is structured is pretty interesting. It's pretty amazing, I think, because let's go back to that first part. If all the Holy Spirit inspired in that verse was "now to him who is able to do above all that we ask or think," that would be. Or to do all that we ask or think. That would be great. But that's not what the Holy Spirit inspired. Okay, there's three adverbs that the Holy Spirit inspired to be in that verse. Okay? And so it says all that we ask or think, right? All that we ask or think. But look at these three adverbs before that. Above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. But the Holy Spirit didn't stop there. Abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, was thinking, that's not it. That, when it comes to the Holy Trinity, when it comes to the triune God, that's not even a great, we're going to throw another adverb, exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, is God able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Yes? Then why doesn't he? That's the main question tonight. If he is able to do this, why doesn't he do it? Okay? We're going to look at some things. The last phrase, though, tells us why, I believe. According to the power that works in us. Okay? I'm going to show you how that works together. According to the power that works in us. According is another interesting word in the Greek that means basically measurement or to measure out something, distribution, distributing something. Okay? So how much, think about it this way. How much of God's power are you measuring out to your family? If it's according to his power that works in us, how much are we measuring out to those around us? How much of his power are you measuring out to your, whatever situation it is that you're praying for? How much of God's power that's exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think are we ministering or are we releasing into that situation? Because according to the power that works in us, the power is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, is it possible that God has already deposited his power in us, and now it's our responsibility to measure it out? God pours it, the power of the Holy Spirit fills us, but it's our responsibility to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and pour that out in the situations around us, in our families around us, through prayer, through praying, through interceding, through believing what God has given to us to flow out of us. And here's another way. God, again, is he limited in his power? He has all power. But what if, now he, that unlimited power, what about if it's limited by our lack of prayer? What does God say? You have not because you ask not. How many prayers do we have going unanswered because we just simply don't ask? But we just read in that verse, verse 20, let's go back to the first part of verse 20. To him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Beyond what imagine you, we all probably have plans and goals, but God has so much more for us. And it's about surrendering what we want, because sometimes what we want puts a limit in a way on what God wants. And he's waiting and he's looking for people that say, Lord, I trust you. I know whatever you have is exceedingly abundantly above anything I can ask or even think about. But it's according to that power, the next part, the last part of that verse, according to the power that works in us, according to his power working through us and us releasing it through prayer. And that leads us to the second point. So the first point, number one, God has deposited his power in us. Number two, and the next slide, is that we must release his power through prayer. He's deposited this power through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have to release the Holy Spirit, release the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we release it? Through prayer. Through praying in faith. Now, I'm going to be looking at a verse that has to do with a river flowing through us. A river of power flowing through us. And my question is, how big is your river? Is it a river, a roaring river, or is it a little trickle kind of, stream or little tiny whatever flowing out through us? Look at John 7, 37 through 39. It says, now this has to do with a feast. It was an 8-day feast that Jesus is talking about. And 7 days of this feast were spent praying for living water. Okay, 7 days of this 8-day feast was in prayer, praying for living water. And then on the 8th day, they prayed for rain. But look at this. It says, on the last day, so this would have been the 8th day of that feast. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning what? Or who? The Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, let's talk about water a little bit. Now, back in the Old Testament, remember when God told Moses to speak to a rock to get water because the Israelites were complaining they didn't have water? He's like, Moses, go speak to the rock. Moses did it one time, but then he was a little annoyed with the Israelites another time. And what did he do instead of speaking to the rock? He struck it, right? And because of that disobedience, can you believe this? God kept him out of the promised land because of that one act of disobedience. But anyway, what came out of that rock when he struck it? Water, right? But living, it enabled them to live in the desert, living water. And then we read about in Zechariah 14:8, this was a prophecy of fulfillment that God was going to cause living water to flow out of Jerusalem. Okay? Now, so again, for 7 days for this feast, the Israelites gathered together and they prayed for living water. Okay? And then on the 8th day, they prayed for rain. And after hundreds of years, this just became kind of a religious show. The supernatural aspect kind of fell away, and they were just praying for normal rain, normal water to bless their crops. Now, we need to pray for rain for our farmers that grow our crops to have rain, okay? They need rain. But this feast and what Jesus is talking about is a lot more than physical water or just physical rain. Because Jesus comes along on the great day, that 8th day, that final day of this feast, and he steps and he stands up and says, I am that living water. I have that living water. Right? Can you imagine that? Standing up. What, you know, a lot of us would say, what an arrogant person to stand up and say, you're, right? This is one of those things that when you read in the New Testament, Jesus doing something, it just, well, that's Jesus. That's, of course. But imagine you're at that time, what you're thinking. Or here's Jesus again. What is this guy? He's claiming to be this living water. He's basically saying, I'm the answer to your prayers. You've been doing this feast for all these years, and I am the answer. I am what you've been praying for. I am the source of what you're praying for. So my question, another question, how much power, now what is power? It's the Holy Spirit. So how much of the Holy Spirit, how much of his power is flowing out of us? How much power is flowing out of you, out of me? That's a question we all have to ask. How much of his power, if the Holy Spirit has been deposited in us, how much of that power of him is flowing through us to other people and into situations? If you believe that God has deposited the Holy Spirit in you, and we know, we read, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then how much of God's power is really flowing out of us? Is it possible that we have our hand on the faucet, so to speak, of God's power in our lives? We have our hand. We can turn it on. We can turn it off. And instead of praying for God's power to be released, right, to release that power, right, maybe we start praying for, you know, and we're praying for God to move in revival, praying for God to move in our church, move in our families, to release that power, that faucet. What about it was our prayer that determines whether or not that faucet's on? And we just, sometimes I think we just expect God to do this because we're in Christ and he'll just take care of these situations. But what about if it really does come down to our understanding and our ability to release that power into situations, into lives? It's kind of like, I think sometimes people have more faith in the hot water faucet than we do in prayer. What do I mean? I don't know how many of you have a house where it takes forever for the hot water to come. You know, sometimes you can, at our house, you can turn on the faucet and go make breakfast. It seems like and come back and finally the hot water is coming through. Sometimes I wonder, where is our hot water heater? Is it downtown somewhere? Why does it take so long for this hot water to come out of this faucet? But what do? We just wait, right? You turn it on, you got to brush your teeth or you got to shave or whatever, and you turn it on and you just wait. You wait, it's cold. But then you can start feeling it gets warmer and warmer. Finally, it's hot to do whatever you need to do. We just wait. We wait because we understand that hot water is going to come. It's eventually going to come. Unless you haven't paid your gas bill, then maybe it doesn't come. But it's going to come, right? It's going to get hot eventually. And I think that's how we need to approach prayer. When you start praying for something, you start praying for a situation, it might feel cold at the beginning. But we don't just turn off the faucet and walk away thinking, well, I guess it's never going to get hot. No, you keep praying. You keep praying. You keep persisting in prayer because eventually it's going to get hot. And you're going to see, I believe, the answer. Persistence. Not quitting. Not giving up. Because we have faith in a way that eventually the hot water is going to come. Because it's came all these other times. Every time we've done it, we know it takes a little bit of time, but it's going to come. That's how we need to be in prayer. It might feel cold at first. Right? We prayed. Nothing seems to happen. Nothing seems to be. But you keep praying, and you keep praying. Because your faith says, eventually God's going to answer this. He's going to answer it. He's going to change the situation, or he's going to give me revelation about what I should be doing, or he's going to change me to where I need to be so I can handle this situation better, or whatever it is, but you don't quit. You don't quit just because you don't get the answer right away or when you expect to get the answer. You keep persisting. You keep going. Think about this. Elijah, he prayed for rain. How many times did he pray for rain? 7 times he prayed for rain. Now, God had already said that he was going to bring rain. So why did he pray 7 times for rain? God already said, I'm going to do this, but Elijah still prayed 7 times for it. Or you think about Daniel, right? You go to the book of Daniel and you read about his prayer. It took 21 days for the answer to come. Let's look at that. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3 to begin with. But it says this. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Now, he was mourning. Why was he mourning? Because he was dieting. He was on a fast. I don't know if any of you did a long fast, but you get to be mourning a little bit. He was mourning 3 full weeks. He says, I ate no pleasant food. I understand that with some of the crazy diets we've tried. I've ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. So the people around him were mourning because he wasn't showering, apparently, for 3 weeks. Till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Okay, 21 days. Fasting and prayer. 21 days. That's another thing the church in general doesn't do a lot of today is fasting. Right? And combining that with prayer. There's a spiritual, almost, there's a way that fasting increases the answer to prayer coming. Well, let's look at this. So that's 2 and 3. Now, let's look at the next, Yep. So you skip down a few more after he says some things, and now an angel comes. Gabriel comes. And the angel says to Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day. Now, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So when in this 21-day period, when did heaven hear his prayer? The first day. And he says, I have come because of your words or your prayers. I have come because of what you've been praying for. What you've been saying, what you've been confessing, what you've been praying for. And we heard you. Heaven heard you. God heard you from the first day that you started to pray. But what does he say after that? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So what is the angel saying? He's saying, we heard you from the first day, but it took 3 weeks for me to break through because of the heavenly warfare that was taking place. Now, what if Daniel stopped praying on the 20th day? Right? That's conjecture. It's just, right? We don't know what might have happened, but we know that Daniel didn't stop on day 19 or day 20 or day 12. He persisted until the answer came. And the angel said, we heard you the first day, but it took these 21 days to get to you because of the warfare. And we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Right? There is a war that is more real than any physical war taking place on this planet today. And it's taking place spiritually. There is warfare going on. And we need to fight for our nation. We need to fight for our families. We need to fight for whatever it is that God's laid on your heart. Because it's warfare. And it's real. And the devil and his minions and want to what? Steal, kill, and destroy you and your family and what God has called you to do. And we stand against him in the armor of God, which we're learning on Wednesday nights more about. But we stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. We stand on the promises of God and we counterattack. We don't run in fear because Jesus himself said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We keep advancing. We keep going forward by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome. Now, let me ask you another question. How much of the work of salvation has been done? How much of the work of salvation has been accomplished? Has Jesus done everything to purchase your salvation? Okay. Why isn't it done in certain people's lives then? Because they haven't received what God has done. They haven't received the work that Jesus has done for them. So it hasn't been accomplished until they receive it in their life, in their individual lives. But Jesus already paid the price. He already went to the cross. He's never going to be crucified again. It was one time. It's been done. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Now, Jesus did everything for our salvation. We need to receive it. And in a way, prayer needs to be... What do we do to receive salvation? Basically, we pray for it, right? We ask God, forgive us of our sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I repent of my sins, right? I want you to come, transform me, right? Be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to follow you. Help me follow you the rest of my life, right? We pray, and God answers that prayer when we pray that. He answers it. And in a way, everything in our life is in an answer to prayer. There's a lot of things that I think when we get to heaven, somehow, I don't know if he'll reveal all the things we could have had or not. The things that we didn't persist for, the things we didn't even bother to ask. But if we go back to the prayer that he has more than we can abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we ask or think. Right? So let's dream big. Let's dream bigger than we have been. God has things that he wants for us that would blow us away. Now, to get there could be a process that maybe he knows. If we knew the process to get where he wants us to be, maybe we wouldn't even put our toe in that water. But there's a place that he wants us to be if we just trust him to get there. Now, in Ephesians 1:3, it tells us that God has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? All, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, right? With every spiritual blessing. So again, the work has been done. We just need to respond in prayer. Everything, right? And even in the Lord's Prayer, when it says, right, how does the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is where? In heaven, right? So when we're praying for heaven to invade earth. to what goes on in heaven to come down to earth. Right? Through prayer. Through prayer. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any lack in heaven? We're praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you, though. Is it God's will that none should perish? Is everyone going to go to heaven? So we know it's God's will, though, that none should perish, that all should come to an understanding of who Christ was and come into a saving relationship, but not everybody will. Why? Because not everyone bows their knee to Christ. Not everybody receives it. Not everyone prays to receive it. There's a lot of things in heaven that are just up there waiting to be brought down to earth through our prayers. But just like Daniel, sometimes it takes persistence and not giving up. If God's laid something, he's promised you something, you don't give up. You keep praying for it. And you don't quit. You keep praying for it. Let's look at this is the third. Leads me to my third point for tonight. Number three. So God has, the first one is God has deposited his power in us. Number two, God, or that we must release that power through prayer. And the third is God adds his fire or his power, his firepower. You like that, Joe? He adds his firepower to our prayers. Now, I want to go to Revelation 5:8. Revelation 5:8 says, now when he had taken the scroll, talking about Jesus, okay? Or no, the angel. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are what? The prayers of the saints. So what's in these bowls? The prayers of the saints. Are you a saint? We are all saints. It's not just special people that get a statue and put on the Vatican or somewhere. If you are a believer in Christ, according to the Bible, you are a saint. Okay? So prayer. Somehow in heaven, our prayers are being gathered in these golden bowls. Okay? Which are the prayers of the saints. It's in these bowls. Let's go to Revelation 8 now, just a few more pages over. It says in verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. All right? And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. All right? Then the angel took the censer, and what did he fill it with? Fire. From the altar, and he threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Now, when those bowls were full, what did the angel add to it? The fire of God, right? He added the fire to those bowls. And so what are in the bowls? The prayers of the saints. So here's a bowl full of the prayers of the saints, and then God adds his fire to it, and then what happens? The angel throws that bowl of the prayers and the fire back down to where? The earth. And I believe that fire is the same fire that came on Mount Carmel when Elijah called down fire. And I believe it's the same fire that stood between the Egyptian army and the Israelites when they were crossing the Red Sea. And I believe it's the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, that fire came, the tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost, and I think it's the fire, it's the power of God mixed with our prayers that gets sent back down to the earth. And so my question is, as I wrap this message up, is how full are your bowls of prayer? How full? I have this picture in my mind. Anybody ever see like those? It's like a water feature where water fills up one bowl and then it kind of tips over and it fills up another bowl and then it tips over. It's like I have that picture in my mind that every time we're praying, like there's a bowl for our family and we're filling it up when we're praying for our families. And there's another bowl that's a bowl for our work or our business, and we're praying every time we pray over it, that bowl is being filled up. And there's another bowl for the health, our health, the health of our family. There's another bowl for our church. There's another, all these bowls up in heaven that are being filled when God's people, when his saints are offering up prayers. There's a bowl for your marriage. And as you pray for your marriage and you pray for your spouse, that bowl is being filled up. So how much time have we spent in prayer over those areas in our life? Because it seems like when that bowl gets filled, God adds his fire to it and he sends that answer back to earth. So we keep praying and we don't give up. If there's something that you've been praying for, you keep praying. Maybe the bowl just hasn't been filled up yet. But there is a real heaven where God really does receive your prayers. And there is a real God that wants to answer prayer, and he wants to do it exceedingly abundantly above everything you can ask or think. But it's prayer. We come to God in faith, in belief, right? And maybe sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we're praying things, and it's filling those bowls up. Maybe it's filling the bowl of a missionary family we don't even know about. Or it's filling up a neighbor. We don't know sometimes when we're praying in the Spirit, what it's filling up. But it's filling up one of those bowls in a way. Until it's full, God adds his fire and he throws it back to the earth in answer. To how much time have we spent in prayer over those different areas? That's where I want to go to tonight. Before we take communion, we don't have to come up here. But I want to spend at least a couple minutes in prayer because there are things. Helen Harrison needs a miracle. Jan Thompson needs a miracle. There's other people, when you read the back of our worship folder, that need God's intervention. They need God's healing touch. They need his touch on their bodies, in relationships, all different things. Right? Salvations and God. I mean, God heart is more than we can possibly imagine. If you have a loved one that is not walking with Christ, God wants him walking with Christ more than you do. We pray for them. Now, again, it takes their cooperation. So we pray for barriers to be removed. We pray for their heart to be softened, for somebody, some way that can reach them. Because sometimes it's really hard to reach a family member. Someone else, sometimes outside the family, has more of effect. So you pray for that person, right? You pray, and you trust God to handle the outcome. And so if you have a need tonight, you can just voice it. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe we're filling up that bowl. And God's going to, when that bowl is filled, he's going to add his fire to it, the power of the Holy Spirit, and that answer is going to come. I have seen that happen in my own life, in the life of my family. I have seen it. I think all of us can think of an instance where we've seen an answer and it's come. And sometimes it's come after years of praying for something. And I don't even understand it all the time. I just know God is awesome. He's awesome and he has awesome things for us. And we just have to ask. And sometimes through the asking, he changes our will. Sometimes we want something when we start out praying, but if we're persistent, he just changes us to give us understanding and revelation that maybe that's not the best thing. And he changes it. But it starts with prayer. Again, the analogy of that faucet. You start praying and it's cold at first, but you keep persisting and you don't quit because the fire, that heat is going to come. That hot water is going to come eventually. And then Paul says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You know that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And every time we take communion, really it's a step closer, right, to him coming back. He's returning soon. And all these wrongs and all this planet, that's everything that's messed up, he's going to set straight. And we have confidence in that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. We can't even begin to thank you enough. And we just pray, God, right now, Lord, that as we leave from this place and we enter our week of work or whatever else you have prepared, Lord, that it not be just another typical week that we just do the same things. Lord, what we desire is to be doing exactly what you want us to be doing. And one of the things that you want us to be doing is telling people about Jesus, of living for Christ, of walking in boldness and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why was the Holy Spirit given? Why do we receive power to be witnesses of Jesus Christ? Bring somebody, Lord, this week that needs and is prepared to hear about the Word of God, prepared to hear about the gospel. Bring them into our path so that we can share Jesus with them and tell them how to have a relationship. Lord, that's why the church is still here, because there's a mission that's not completely fulfilled, and that is spreading the gospel around the world. There are still people, Lord, your word says that you are long-suffering because your will is not for any to perish. There are people out there that if they died today or that you returned today, they would perish. Lord, help us reach those people. Help us reach them any way possible. Give us boldness. Give us those divine encounters this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. Carry your Sunday into Monday. How about that? I heard that somewhere. So.